Sai Center, September 8, 2024.
Hi everybody, hi Satyan. Tonight's study circle, I would like to dig deeper into the teaching about the formlessness, about the formless and the distinction between that and form. I have a quote from Baba and a quote from Sat. They are incredibly resonate and they relate to each other in my understanding. So I will read them and then we can discuss. First, Baba's quote. In this context, one has to understand the implications of oneness with the divine. One desires to merge in God and achieve moksha, or liberation. How is this to be secured? God is formless. He is the source of all energy. He is effulgent. How is one to realize such an omnipotent divinity? Water can integrate with water. Air can combine with air. Fire can merge with fire. As God is formless, to become one with God, we have to become formless. What does this imply? It means that we have to get rid of the attachment to the body. This is achieved through dhyana or meditation, while retaining attachment to the body, one cannot hope to achieve oneness with God merely by praying for it. You have to become formless to realize the formless divine. As God is the embodiment of effulgence, you have to make your life effulgent to experience God. Now Sat's quote, when you are in silence, you are with the formless self. When you need the form, you are with your own formful self. Because it is all the self, so even when your attention is on your guru's body, it is really on your own reality. First question, what part of these quotes resonate the most with your experiences?
The part that I think resonates the most with me is just the first sentence of Sat's quote, when you are in silence, you are with the formless self. For me, I just have so many experiences where I am, you know, my mind is so active, or I'm really like struggling with something, or I can't get control of it. And it's not that I just go right to silence in those moments, but if I hit the right audio, if I get the right message, I have the right moment with Sat, I get this moment of real silence. And everything shifts and changes, and I remember it, and it stays with me. And so for me, when you have that real silence, when you have that real experience of it, when I have it, it is, it changes my whole perspective, and it shifts my whole world, and it's really incredible. So that part really resonates with me.
Yeah, I what you're saying, Kavijan, makes a lot of sense to me. I also remember in one of the meditations Sat was referring to not just seeing or witnessing the silence, but being the silence. And that is a deeper, you know, we, c- kind of experience of it. And silence is perhaps, as you're saying, the formless. So that's how we merge with the formless, as opposed to just observing it or experiencing, being in the company of it.
My experience with this is there's been times when Sat has been speaking and I've felt a deep silence where I've lost the sense of my body and felt formless, and only when I'm able to do that do I have this much deeper connection to her words and the teaching, and those experiences have been really profound. And it speaks of effulgence here, which I think is giving off light. And in those times where I felt like I was formless, I was really feeling this light emanating from Sat.
For me, the first thing is that I really like Baba's examples. They are always very convincing. Also, my sharing is very similar to what Vijay said. When Sat is speaking and I'm really feeling the silence, even maybe I don't understand, but I'm just concentrating on her form.
In FDE this morning, Asal asked us, how do you practice feeling your presence? And when I really looked at it, for me, thoughts of Sat, thinking about Sat, reminiscing, something I want to do with her, for her, brings me to that place. I was going to read, so the part for me is, because it is all the self, so even when your attention is on your guru's body, it is really on your own reality. That is my favorite practice.
The part that resonated with me was that truth never gets old. That's like so true over like thousands of years. It's just, I don't know why, but every time you hear it, it just rings a bell in your head. I don't know. It's just so true.
This is Anita. I like the part which is water can integrate with the water, and earth with air, and the fire with fire. As God is formless, to become one with God, we have to become formless. So that resonates very well with me, that I have to practice a lot of silence, and I need a lot of guidance from Seth to get to that level of feeling the formless, to merge with God. I have been practicing, but I still feel I need guidance from my guru, my Sat, and also doing through my meditation.
Anybody else?
At this point, since the connection was not good, Sat is repeating what Mamad was sharing.
What he was saying is that when he was swimming, he closed his eyes and he felt that oneness or formlessness, and he wanted to ask me. First, when Baba refers to formless God, you have to be formless. He's talking about your reality. Not a God that is someplace that if you're formless, you get to it. Please hear me out. It is not saying, in order for me to be with a formless God, I have to be formless. No. In order to realize your reality, the mind has to subside. Because the mind is the movement on the screen of your reality. So in order to see the screen in the theater, the projector has to stop showing the pictures. And that is when you see the screen. A screen is never not me, never not you. But the movement on it secures the vision of the reality that you and I are. When Baba says water merges in water and becomes one, it's absolutely true. When you are with the movement, you are the movement. When you are with the base, you are the base. And of course, the base does not have words to explain. So it must be silence. So we should not let our mind make it complicated. Again, something too rich is something to settle down. It is not something to change. It is not something to move. It's something to settle down. And what I mean by us settling down means transferring the energy of mixing to energy of passive staying. You see, the screen in the movie is a passive staying. That's why it's able to show everything on it. And so I really like Baba's quote. It's very, very profound. And if we don't understand it, we make it more complicated, something to really have to struggle to get to. Is a lack of a struggle is the reality of us. Is a lack of an anxiety and fear is our reality. So is opposite of wanting to reach a state is letting go of other states that are temporary. Go with your next question.
Actually, I think you answered the next question.
So okay, we'll go with another one then.
I was almost going to put the become formless in quotation because I didn't want it to come across from Baba's quote. Thank you so much for that explanation. Can I go to the last question about to make our life effulgent? The question is, what is your understanding of how we can make our life effulgent? I had to look up this word, I didn't know. It means radiant. My answer to both of these questions were more about acknowledging that our reality is formless and our reality is effulgent by dropping the form, by dropping all the thoughts, we let it shine and we let it show itself and be itself. That was my understanding and kind of my grasp of these answer to these two questions.
I feel like when I'm really looking at it right now, there's of course, so many tools I could point to that that's given us, but I'm realizing right now that just being here, being on this path, the good is so much gooder than it would that it is when you're not here. All the bad is still so much brighter and full of something beautiful. Everything, there's a lesson in it or an opportunity. And so I just feel like it. Just being here is effulgent, and I can look back and see it was very dark where I came from. Like just everything, the good, the bad, all of it is just, everything through this lens is different, and it's incredible.
For me, letting go of my expectations and my desires in this worldly life that I see as an effulgent and finding my own source of happiness. not from people around me, and then remembering God's name throughout the day.
I have a question for Sat. Is everyone kind of thirsty for the truth, even if they don't know it? And the closer we are to the truth, the more effulgent we are. Can you say that about everybody, or is that wrong?
No, it is not wrong. Any desires has its roots to some sort of wanting release, whether it's in form of joy, peace, freedom, or possessing more comfort and plenty food. It is being misinterpreted by our mind, because the mind is a very material quality, and we seek it, of course, in different avenue through our own ignorance. And until this ignorance gets ripened for wanting the true meaning of life, the reincarnation continues. Even though everything comes up of that main, the mother desire to go back home. And those of us that are on the Zoom live stream or in the room, Baba's room, we had enough going and coming and enough merit in the past lives, according to Rabbu Gita, that now we have gotten to the point that we say we did not find stability, permanent joy, and peace. And I want something that I can stand on and is not taken away from me. And so I would say our number is up. In other words, it's our turn, and we can't force other people to have their turn. They need to ripen in their own. Baba gives a very good example. He says a fruit tree, not every fruit gets to be ripened. Most of them fall off the tree before they are ripened and ready to be eaten. So there is an incredible gratefulness in this lifetime for all of us that we have tasted the bitterness of this going and coming, then now we really want a stable home. And not knowing that this stable home is who we are is not where we go and what we do for getting it. So yes and no. You can wander around wanting joy from your neighbor, wanting joy from your partner, wanting peace from your surrounding. But eventually you have to turn the lens toward the reality rather than the temporary. Temporary is also comes out of the reality. In other words, it's not separated from reality. It's just is not permanent. It's changing.
I was driving the other day and I was thinking about Baba and just my inner self and how I could understand the words of Jesus now because of what I've learned. And I had this such a peace come over me, and I felt like I was home. And I realized, like, I'm just driving in my car. Just driving to another house, but I'm home right now. And I really felt it. And then I really thought of this.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You were with the formless you. You were with your formless you because you inspire you by thinking about your beloved and the teaching of your beloved and getting it, understanding it. and you went beyond the form. You contemplated on the form and his words, and then you went beyond the form of yourself and your guru. Eventually, everything is about the self. And we are all marching toward the self, untouched by, sorry about my language, bullshit. And that does not mean that we don't do our duty, we don't work, we don't attend to the hot household duty. It has nothing to do with that. Is what happens within you while you're doing all of that that indicates how ripe you are.
Sachin, thanks to you, we now know how to live by the grace, even doing the household things.
Yes. Yes, is by association with your reality that is called God. The more we associate with the silence when the thinker and the thoughts have settled down, the more grace our being is. What is grace? Perfection in imperfect situations.
I can say for me, not a day goes by that I don't see it, this perfection.
Yeah.
That would have been so many situations that could have been totally intolerable or disastrous, and they just seem, okay, this is going to pass. Next.
Yeah, your vision has changed from chaos vision and ignorant vision to a settled vision, a vision that is not moved by every breeze. That's ripening.
I'm very grateful. Thank you. Sachin, with your permission, we'll close this study circle.
Before I we say goodbye to one another so you guys can have your prasad, I would like to invite all of you have the trust meditation in the forefront. If there is any possibility for all of you to do that, I would really appreciate at this time. I feel like trust meditation is a very, very good and useful tool, not only for ourselves, but for our surrounding, for the world, for the love that we like to spread. Master, that was a beautiful quote. Thank you for the study circle.
Thank you so much.